B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Let's talk to our next guest. He is, of course, the great quarterback whisperer. And, you know, I was watching, what was I watching? Some kind of show on NFL Network, and they had Ron Jaworski passing the mantle to Brett Favre. Oh, I guess it was on Peyton Manning's the little show on ESPN 3. The great Jaws hugging Brett Favre for breaking his consecutive game record. Here he is now. We have him live on the air on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Jaws.
Yeah, Mike, you're going way back. I was actually at Lambeau Field when the Packers brought me out when Brett Favre broke my record for consecutive starts. They stopped the game. I gave him the game ball. It was actually very cool. And my son was probably around 14 or 15 years old, but now he's 35 or 36. So.
Uh-huh. Well, you look the same.
Time does fly.
It's amazing. You look the same. You had different glasses, but you look the same.
You didn't age. Different color.
You didn't age at all. All right, let's get to the business here. Totally just disjointed football team yesterday. Totally disappointing. They looked unprepared. They had no rhyme and bounce on offense. Well, I mean, what's your opinion of this whole thing?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to argue any of that, you know, and I've been trying to figure this out myself all afternoon because, quite honestly, I'm a little bit ticked off at that performance last night, and I think every Eagle fan, and probably more so as a player, you feel a little bit embarrassed by that performance, and it was out of the blue. After a dreadful performance last week in Minnesota, you know, getting whopped there, you know, 38-20, and then you get beat again, you know, 37-10. These are back to back embarrassing weeks. So, I'm trying to figure out, where to lay blame, what went wrong. Obviously, there's been two horrible performances. If you weren't ready to play yesterday, something's wrong, and they weren't ready to play yesterday, so something is wrong.
You're right. They weren't ready to play. So
they weren't ready to play.
So how, coming off a loss especially, go in there, you're still alive, you take control of the division with a win down there, at least an effort, we didn't see the effort. How does it happen?
It wasn't there. It just wasn't there. And guys can make any excuses they want. You know, now you're starting to see some cracks right now. Guys starting to talk. They started talking last week. And, you know, Doug's got to nip this at the bud real quick. He's got to nip it really quick. But I've been around a lot of great coaches, Mike. And you know, the coaches I played for as head coaches have won over 1,000 games and numerous Super Bowls. When you look at, you know, Dick Vermeil and Buddy Ryan and Don Shula and Marty Schottenheimer and Chuck Knox. And I learned from those guys. And here's one thing that very seldom is talked about, but I think it's really true. It's time for Doug to start coaching the coaches. And that's where I kind of look at this problem right now. You have some of these coaches that aren't doing their job, and that trickles down to the players. So everyone's saying, hey, you know, Doug's got to get hard on the players. You know, some of these coaches aren't getting it done right now. I mean, this defense is regressing at an unbelievable pace. Now, I know there's been injuries, and but you can't make excuses. You cannot make excuses, period. And this offensive line, when your best players, like, you know, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, people want to talk about Dillard. I actually thought except for a couple snaps on Robert Quinn, he held his own, but the guys you expect to play great didn't. And so coaches got us there coaching up the players that they coach directly. It's not always on the head coach. So I think Doug probably already did this morning, had a meeting with some of his assistant coaches and quarter and said, hey guys, you guys better get your guys ready to play because this isn't working. You better change what you're doing. It's not working. So I think the coaches need to be coached up.
All right. Let's talk about two particular coaches. First talk about the offensive coordinator, then we'll go to the defensive coordinator since coaches need to be coached up. Doug is calling plays. So how much influences the offensive coordinator having on this kind of a game plan? The game plan didn't look like it had any kind of connection to it.
Well, it's been a few weeks now where when I plug in a tape and I look and I can normally, and I've been around this game since 1973, I get a kind of a perception of what the game plan would be, and I'm being totally honest with you. Over the last few weeks, I have not seen that game plan and can figure out what the game plan is. You know, it looks like, well, they want to run it, then they don't want to run it, then they get away from the run, then they want to throw it. But, you know, it's hard to formulate a game plan. Mike, you and I have talked about this for years now. I am not a big fan of running back by committee. I think it sends a message to the defense of what you're doing. Because when you run by committee, you use the attributes of a specific player and you use those abilities. The defense studies as well. They know when a different back comes in, the type of running game you're going to get and where it's going to go. So I think you can clue, you can get tips, you can break that down. So I think clearly you're not getting, you know, the maximum out of what I call a bell cow back that can catch the ball, run the ball, block, and, you know, be the universal back. But the Eagles have always taken a different notion on that. But this receiving core, got to find a way to get him the ball. And I have no idea, and I heard you talking earlier today about where was Zach Ertz. The whole telecast, I was asking myself that. Where is Zach Ertz? Where has Goddard become the guy now that they want to go to? The one matchup nightmare you create for defense is Zach Ertz. When getting the football. That's game planning. You find a way to get your best players involved in the game plan.
That's the thing that bugged me is that, listen, we know what their limitations are, okay? You're not going to get much from Aguilar at this point. You're not going to get anything from Mac Hollins. He hasn't given you anything. But what you have is you have Alshon with a 6'4 frame on single coverage, a smaller guy, and you have the two tight ends that you get the ball to. But do they not notice that they're not targeting the guy who's most reliable in Ertz?
Well, obviously, you know, they have to know that. This is what they do for a living. They got coaches. They develop a game plan. And, you know, I'll give the Cowboys linebackers some credit. They got some fast, speedy guys. But I think Zach Ertz is one of the premier tight ends as a receiver in this league. And, you know, we've seen that through the years. You can match corners on him, and he's going to beat him. You know, he's that kind of receiver. So you almost have to design plays to get him the football. And I know the defense is always one that you read it, dictates where you go with the football. But when you got a weapon like Zach Ertz, he must be part of the game plan, particularly early in games. Because now you force the defense to cover him. Then at least you're going to get one-on-one with Alshon. You're going to get one-on-one with Nelson. You're going to get one-on-one with Mac Hollins, whoever they decide to put out there. But clearly, you got to get Zach Ertz involved in these games early. And where is the screen game gone? I mean, I used to love plugging in the tape on Monday and seeing Jason Kelce out in front of these screens, man, and guys getting down the field. And, you know, here's a place you can use Miles Sanders in a screen game. Where has the screen game gone? I don't know. Mike Groh is there now? Did he forget about all the success Frank Reich had with the screen game? It's gone. It's not part of this offense. Bring it back.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, we're back to defensive coordinator. What is he doing wrong? What can he do differently?
Well, you know, the linebackers couldn't make a play. They were getting smoked. They just got smoked. So now you got a personnel issue. And you know, I've always kind of felt that Schwartzy is a good coordinator. However, that being said, you know, you're starting to get guys hurt. And when guys get hurt, you got to mask deficiencies. And he has not been able to do that. It's been kind of an up and down season in regards to blitzes, zero coverages, predictable. I thought actually Collinsworth nailed it a couple times last night. The Eagles were showing their blitzes. They allowed Prescott to audible, and they get a touchdown on one. They got a big third and 13. They got a tunnel screen, first down. They're showing their blitzes. They weren't disguising their blitzes, and they were easy to read. When Chris Collinsworth and the people at home can see the blitz is coming and are giving up touchdowns, or at least down to the 1 yard line or 1 inch yard line, the tackle was made. You know, you can't be predictable. You've got to disguise better. I like, you know, the mixing of it up, but man, you can't tell a quarterback in this league unless you're playing maybe some dumb rookie that doesn't see the field. You may take advantage of that, but you know, Dak Prescott, you're not going to take advantage of.
Conversely, the Cowboys disguise their blitzes very well, I thought. So let me give you the question that everybody's asking. Is this quarterback losing confidence? Does he look like the same confident quarterback that you have seen before?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And I don't know why. I'm not with him every day. But, you know, hey, I've watched enough of Carson Wentz going back to North Dakota State and his years in this league. And I you can almost feel when he's in his rhythm and he's feeling it. And hey, you can say it about most quarterbacks, but I always felt that way about Carson because I've watched him every week and I've broken his tape down every week. So I know when he's in that rhythm and he has not found that rhythm. And, I almost got the sense looking at tape today, he's gotten to the point now where he's not anticipating the throw. You cannot wait till a receiver gets open and then throw the football. You got to anticipate the window. You got to throw it before he breaks his route. You got to throw it into the hole. And I feel he's holding onto the ball just a tad too long right now, and those windows are closing because he's a split second late with the ball. I actually thought Nelson Aguilar's play, and I know people are shredding Nelson Aguilar. You got to hit that throw. The ball was too flat. Aguilar couldn't track it, and it was 3 yards overthrown. I mean, you could say he could dive, he could, but the ball, that with all the space he had out there, you throw that ball with some air under it, and you let Nelson go get it. It was flat and beyond him with all the space in the world to throw him open, and I think Carson has to assume responsibility for that miss. It was a beautifully designed play. You got the man-to-man coverage on Alshon Jeffrey to the left. He ate up the corner on that side. You had half the field over there. And you know, he missed the throw.
All right, the last question is the accountability question. Coming off the last week where the unnamed source who kind of buried him in a couple of ways, and then all of a sudden here comes Lane Johnson saying that people are being late to meetings and late to practice. What's going on inside this organization right now?
You know, Don Shula used to have this statement that I'd heard all the time from him. You know, when you point the finger at someone 3 points back, you got to be real careful when you start beginning pointing fingers at other players. You better put your autograph on your own performance, not worry about anyone else. So whenever there's these moles and leakers and all this in the locker room, don't we have enough of that in politics right now? And now we got it infiltrating the game of football where, Mike, we all know that there is so much media right now everywhere. Everyone's looking for a story, looking for an angle, looking to actually embarrass someone. And you know, the media is not there to help you. And players better understand that. The media is not there to help you. And guys better understand that, or there's going to be a lot of major problems in the organization.
Ron, I get it, but a player said that players are coming late to practice and coming late to meetings.
Well, no, that's an indictment on the coaching staff. You know, I mean, I'm not there, so I can't give you, you know, what I feel. But when a player makes that statement, that's why when we opened this up, I said, hey, it's Doug, and he's got to make his coaches accountable as well. You know, there are a lot of, it's not just a general team meeting in the morning or a special, you know, they have individual breakdown meetings. Are guys not coming to those meetings? Are they late for those meetings? I don't know, but clearly when guys start running their mouth, you know, there's an issue.
All right. Well, can they salvage it? That's the question. Are they a team?
Hey, I tell you what. I we spoke last week, and I was as bummed as anyone. Obviously, I'm a fan. I'm a former player, and I hurt when there's a game like there was yesterday. You know, and when it's an embarrassing loss because we all like to puff our chest out when Cowboy Week, and we got hammered. It wasn't a competitive game, and that's what hurts the most when you expect the most out of someone and you get the least. That's the pain you have to live with.
And this could go two ways. You know which way it could go. It could go up, and guys could say, all right, it's enough, or it could fall off the cliff. You've seen it before.
Hey, I thought after last week, I expected it to go up, and it went down even further. So, Mike, I can give you my opinion, but right now, you go up to Buffalo, a hell of a defensive team up there. They're not going to score many points, but they play good defense. It's going to be crazy up there. The Bills are playing good football right now. You know, the schedule comes out, people kind of laugh. Oh, W up in Buffalo. That's not going to happen. It may happen with a win, but it's not going to be. You can't put that W down right now, especially where the Eagles are situated.
They lose it, this season could be over within 8 games.
Could be. It could be, and that's the sad part about it because, I, like you and most people, thought this was a pretty loaded football team. I really did. I predicted 13-3. You know, I'm the one right now not feeling good about my pick, but I felt strongly about Doug, his coaching staff, and this team. Right now, they've let everybody down.
All right, Ron. We'll talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Ron Jaworski, of course, his show will be Wednesday night right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll take a quick break. We'll come down the home stretch right here on the Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.